This episode is brought to you by Bleacher Report. How do you follow sports? From college football to the NBA, Bleacher Report brings you the latest news, live scores, and epic highlights from your favorite leagues, teams, and athletes, all in one app. Dive into exclusive shows hosted by your favorite athletes and original Bleacher Report series with breaking news, rumors, and predictions all season long. Download Bleacher Report to personalize your coverage.
And now back to...
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to do something special.
Saquon Barkley goes into NFL history.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Who wants to go to the playoffs? Touchdown walk again. They win it overtime.
Damn, throws to the right. Throws to Addison. Caught.
Pulling it down off the roof was Keon Coleman for the touchdown.
Today's guests. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. As always, some of our best ideas come off the top of our heads. Poll question, Chris, is already out there. Is it up? Is it up there? Is it posted there?
Oh, are you here? Yeah, it's out there. Yeah, it's out there.
We want to read it out for everybody to chime in on by voting at Rich Eisen Show or calling us at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, potentially the most dangerous seven seed heading into the playoffs. Bengals, Commanders, Packers.
Okay. Who do you not want to see if you're the Bills or the Eagles having clinched the two seed? Who do you not want to see coming? I can stake a claim on one of those. We'll talk about it later on. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But lots to talk about with this man. It's been a while. It has been some time since my friend from Sports Illustrated has joined the program. I decided 1 month was enough of a cooling off period.
Yeah, I had an idea that we might be going this way. Go ahead and give it to me.
It's just it's funny. Here we are on December 30th. Albert Breer, what were you doing 1 month ago today?
I was freezing my ass off. Right now, I think it would have been like before halftime, so maybe I still had some optimism. But
front row,
you know, everything had gone perfect in the morning. My flight was on time. Because of my Black Friday obligations, I couldn't fly out till Saturday morning.
Well, that's right.
I was a little worried about that, but everything worked out. Went to my buddy Reagan's house in Upper Arlington. We dropped our stuff there. Went right over to the tailgate. I was shot out of a cannon at the tailgate, had a great time there. Our seats were good. And then,
front row.
The game started.
Yeah, the game started. Hey, listen, bottom line though, Albert, is your team is playing right here in the beautiful Rose Bowl in Pasadena on Wednesday. You still have a lot to play for, and I want to get to your thoughts on that, later on. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'll just throw it out to you, Albert. The number one story coming off of week 17 in your estimation is what? What do you give?
Saquon, I think the accomplishment is one of those things that's going to stand, the test of time. And obviously getting to 2000 yards in 16 games. I think there's a nuance to that. That he didn't need the extra game to do it. He had over other guys who've done it, like Derrick Henry and Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson. So that's one of them. I think and it almost feels like ancient history now because it's like what 5 days ago. But
right,
the way the Chiefs looked, it feels to me like they're rounding into shape. And I think it's some of the vision that they had for the team over the summer, where now you're seeing what, they thought of Hollywood Brown, and you're seeing what they hoped Xavier Worthy would be. And now they have the left tackle thing figured out, with Joe Tooney, who's an all-pro guard, who's one of the all-time, great professionals, being able to make that move from the guard position. And Pacheco's healthy, and the defense was able to play the way they did against the Steelers without Chris Jones in there. So they bought Chris Jones the extra few days of rest, and now they'll buy him even more rest with the bye. It just I don't know how you felt watching on Christmas Day, Rich, but it's like it was kind of like here they come.
Yeah.
I mean?
I know. And the cheese was out there all season long, just like the year before and the year before that. The year before that, I took it and said, no, the Raiders are going to win the division. And then they won the Super Bowl, the Chiefs did. And then last year, it's like, they're never going to be able to flip the switch. And then they did after Christmas. This one, I don't know if it's really a switch flip. It's just been a slow burn of excellence, you know, with occasional bursts of what one would think luck to get them through the moments where their excellence couldn't get them on the scoreboard. You know,
you say luck though, like this is what the Patriots were for 20 years, right? Like it was like, God, like every break's going their way, every call's going their way, but it's like they were so prepared for when those breaks did go their way that they nailed it like every time. You know, like that was the magic of the Patriots. It wasn't just getting breaks, it was like when the break came for them, they capitalized. And that's what the Chiefs are. It's like, I mean, if you're another team playing against Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, it's like the same feeling you probably had playing against Tom Brady in New England 10 or 20 years ago, where it's like a couple things go wrong and, oh my God, the walls are closing on us now. You know, they sort of have that mental edge on everybody. And so, and now, you know, they get to do it at Arrowhead. And again, like I think like having the bye and having week 18 to manage health, you know, with a couple of guys in Travis Kelce and Chris Jones who've been banged up, like to get them the extra rest now. It's just setting up where it's like, I mean, I thought about it like, you know, when they won on Christmas, it was like they're one win away from their seventh straight AFC title game. Like that's it. Like that's the position they put themselves in. And, you know, it's like this is another parallel to New England, but it's like they're going to be in that ring at the end when there are only four teams left on Championship Sunday, and they're going to win some of them, they're going to lose some of them, but, you know, like they're always going to be in that ring, and it feels like that's going to be the case once again after everything they've been through this year.
And, you know, an interesting conversation that I'm sure many of our colleagues will go deeper into as we are waiting and twiddling our thumbs for week 18 is interesting, Albert, that the top seed in the AFC also in a way holds the keys to the seventh seed, and they take on a Broncos team that needs to beat them to get that seventh seed. And if the Chiefs beat the Broncos, that opens the door potentially for the Dolphins. And if the Dolphins can't pop that door through, Joe Burrow can. And right. If you're the Chiefs and you hold these keys, what do you do with those keys, Albert Breer?
Well, what do you do? I've thought about this so much. Here's the thing, though.
Yes.
Is so, like, I would say, like, as far as just your fear factor here, if you're Kansas City, and they shouldn't be scared of anybody, and they aren't, but like your fear factor, like, I would say there are probably two teams in the AFC that really give you the most pause.
Can I guess them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ravens and the Bengals.
Bengals and the Bills, I think. Right?
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, the Bills. Sure. Bengals. Okay. The Bills, not the Ravens.
Okay. So it's like, let's say you have that opportunity to knock the Bengals out. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I think if the Bengals get in, they play the Bills in the first round. Mm-hmm. So that's going to sort of take care of itself, right? Yep. I mean, that's just like kind of like I the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, absolutely. If I'm the Bengals, if I'm the Chiefs, I want to keep Joe Burrow out. I'm going to game this up. But
damn
like,
straight you will, man. You don't want Burrow to go into Buffalo and one and done there, and then he shows up feeling like that in your house. Get out of here with that noise, man.
So you would game this up then. I mean, but here's the thing, like after watching, here's the other part about it, right? After watching what Kevin O'Connell's done with Sam Darnold, right? And what like Liam Cohen and Dave Canales and Todd Bowles have done with Baker Mayfield, are you ruling out that Andy Reid might roll out a different version of Carson Wentz there on Sunday?
Yeah, I know.
Like, that might be a little more difficult than people think. Like listen, after all these reclamation projects we've seen, would you rule out that like, oh my God, like 2017 Carson Wentz is back.
Albert, that's the beauty of weeks 17 and 18 in the NFL. Cause I'm being slightly cheeky here or completely cheeky by even, you know, twitching in the direction that the Chiefs would, you know, play something funky in week 18 to try and game the system to make sure Joe Burrow doesn't, you know, make it. Cause it's more than just what the Chiefs have to do. It's not completely in their control, but the beauty of week 17 and 18 is like, if Carson Wentz is going to start, this is a major opportunity for him. Like, and anybody else who starts in place of the Chiefs starters, it's a major opportunity for them, too, to look at their colleagues who have nothing to do but watch them, right? Kelsey will be standing there. Chris Jones will be standing there. Mahomes will be standing there. Whoever is the starter that's standing there, they are a captive audience, and here they can prove to those guys, I'm one of you. I can be just as good as you. I'm a Kansas City Chief. We're going to win this Super Bowl together. That is potent. Potent. That's the beautiful thing about this league.
Just last year, this is a little bit of a different example, but I can tell you one of the things the Vikings really liked about Sam Darnold was how well he played in garbage time in that Ravens-Niners game on Christmas. When you remember the Ravens blew him out and Sam Darnold played the last 10 minutes. Well, if you watch, you go back and look at it, and I think you and I have talked about this, right?
Like,
you saw a different version of Sam Darnold out there. And some of the Vikings people I know were like, whoa, like, what are we looking at here? You know, maybe there is something to work with there. So I think that part of it is really, really interesting that for Carson Wentz, this is a great opportunity. And again, like, are we sure are the Broncos so good that they'll be able to just roll out there and beat a Chiefs team that realistically in the NFL, it's not like college. You can't sit everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't have enough numbers on your roster. So this is like top's going to be what? You know, 7 or 8 guys sitting out, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. It's like an interesting twist the way that week 18 sets up here. And, certainly I look at the Bengals and I probably wouldn't want Joe Burrow coming into Arrowhead. I think I'd agree with you on that.
Yeah, right. Joe Burrow, man. I've got Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Darnold because you know our business again. It's not enough for us to be hyping up Lions and Vikings and talking about how great the Viking season is now and what it can be right now for the next month and a half. We can't leave well enough alone. We talked about it on this program last week. There was even real estate on game day morning on NFL Network Sunday morning that we spent on what do the Vikings do with Sam Darnold moving forward? What does it mean with JJ McCarthy coming off of a knee injury? He's just 21 years old. What do you think the Vikings are thinking right now with this remarkable season in front of them?
So I think this is interesting because I do think they think very highly of him. Like I one of the things, like in talking with Kevin O'Connell over the last couple of months about this, when I've had a chance to talk with him about it, that he's emphasized is like people need to stop looking at Sam Darnold as if the other shoe is about to drop, you know, and people need to stop looking at him and letting their feelings on him from the Jets and Panthers weigh them down. And just recognize that this is a really good player who is talented enough to once go third overall and maybe was a victim of his circumstances when he was younger. So, you know, they view him as, you know, a viable option going forward. Now, the question is, how do you do that? And I think, you know, there's an example from 20 years ago that I think is probably the best one out there to compare to this one, which is like, you remember the Chargers, like, you broadcast that draft. That would have been one of your first drafts, I think, the Eli Manning draft. And so the Chargers wind up, you know, they're not over the moon with Drew Brees. So they trade out of the first pick after Eli refuses to play for them and trade down, and they go and take Phillip Rivers there with the thought that Phillip Rivers is going to beat Drew Brees out. Well, Drew Brees does not lose the quarterback competition to Rivers that summer. Brees beats him out. And then Brees plays so well, wins 12 games, that they franchise him after the year and go into 2005 with Brees as the quarterback and Rivers as the backup. Now, obviously, that all took care of itself naturally when Drew got hurt at the end of that year. Both guys wound up having very bright futures from there forward, of course. But it's an example of one way you could handle it if you were the Vikings, where you look at it and you say, we owe it to the guys on this roster, right? Like, if Harrison Smith's going to be back next year, if, you know, with Justin Jefferson, obviously, will be there. You know, guys who've given so much to this place.
Hawkinson, we owe it to guy them. Gave we his knee, it, we, right? All that stuff. I hear what you're saying.
We owe it to these guys to give them the shot to be at our very best at the quarterback position. And that means bringing both guys back. And that means having both Sam Darnold and JJ McCarthy back. And that's a good problem to have. Look, they thought the world of JJ. JJ had a great offseason, did awesome in the spring and summer, looked great in that preseason game. I think it was against the Raiders? I think, like, whoever it was they played, looked great in that first preseason game. Unfortunately, he gets hurt. you know, the downside of that is like that they just haven't gotten to see like the development over the last 4 or 5 months. So as much as they like JJ, with a team that's ready to win right now, do you roll the dice and say like JJ is going to be fine and JJ is going to be ready to go? And we've done a great job the last 3 years managing that position under Kevin O'Connell, and we can go forward and feel confident with JJ McCarthy. And then you have the advantage of being able to build more aggressively because you're all of a sudden in that window with a quarterback on a rookie contract. Or do you say, again, we owe it to the Harrison Smiths, to the Justin Jeffersons, to the Aaron Jones, to these guys on our roster that are older and chasing a championship, to give ourselves the insurance of, hey, if JJ has a setback with his injury, or JJ has some bumps in his development, like we have this other piece here. It's a really interesting question to kind of dive into, but I think it's certainly a champagne problem. If you look at coming out of like a Kirk Cousins situation where the guy was your quarterback for the last 6 years and played as well as Kirk did, I don't know that you could come out of it much cleaner than the Vikings have come out of it with two very viable answers for 2025.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show from Sports Illustrated. 1 week from today, Albert, give me the number of coaching vacancies we will be talking about 1 week from this conversation.
6 or 7. I have to actually like go through them. But I would say, you know, you obviously
we got three open now. So you're saying
you have
only
the Jets.
Okay.
You have the Jets, the Saints, the Bears, the Jags, I think will be open.
You do.
Cowboys are iffy. The Cowboys, I mean, I think it's, here's what my belief on the Cowboys is, if McCarthy still had years on his contract, they would go forward with him. I think they're that impressed with the job that he's done. The problem is they have to drop an entirely new contract to bring him back. And not only that, I don't know how many people know this, but virtually every assistant on his staff is up too. Hmm. So they would basically have to redo contracts for everyone on his staff. So like, do they bring that all back? Do they commit to McCarthy for another 4 or 5 years? I think that one's still up in the air. I have a hard time making a call on that one. I think the Raiders, there's a good chance that one will be open. So that would put you right at 6. Who am I missing here, Rich? Help me out.
Patriots, Albert.
I think the Patriots. So I don't think Robert. Oh, and the Giants would be the other one. So we'll go through those two.
Please.
The Patriots, to me, Robert Kraft does not want to fire Gerard Mayo. I don't think they want to be that franchise that's acting in that sort of scattershot way. That said, that was an ugly, ugly, ugly game on Saturday. There is a coach out there who will be the belle of the ball, Mike Vrabel, who is probably going to be available only this 1 year. And I think if you think you can get him, then you have to think about it. I do feel like Gerard is going to be judged on a few different things. Number one, are the players still playing hard for him? We'll see Sunday, because that didn't look great on Saturday. Number two, has he shown that he can effectively manage his staff? That's, you know, we'll see. And then three, is there some direction for his program? So I think all of that will be assessed. I think they want to bring him back for a second year, maybe with some additions to his coaching staff to add some experience on both sides of the ball. And then the Giants, to me, are the real like wild card here. I don't think that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's futures are inextricably tied. I think they'll be judged separately. I do think over the next week, John Mara will sit down with both guys to talk about the plan going forward, and where they are going forward. You know, again, I look at them as one of these where it's okay. Like, we feel like we've got a pretty good core of young players here to build around, but this thing fell apart at the end. Is there a way to dig it out? And, you know, again, I think Mara is sort of like Kraft in this way. Like, he does not want to be the franchise that keeps turning things over. And they had three straight coaches that were 2 and done. And this is only 3 years for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. So do you want to do that? They're another sneaky Vrabel team. I'd throw the Raiders in there. A lot of people think he's going to the Raiders. But the Giants, I think, would be a sneaky Vrabel team as well, just because his general manager, I think his pick for general manager is already in-house there, and Ryan Cowden, who he's with in Tennessee, and his defensive coordinator's on staff there, and Shane Bowen. So I think Vrabel kind of hovers over a few of these different jobs out there. And, you know, the Giants, I think, certainly have some decisions to make. Again, I think both the Patriots and Giants are in that boat where the owners want to see it through. But I think both owners are going to have to, you know, get the plan going forward and really believe in that plan to go forward with the guys who they have now.
What about the Colts, Albert? Is there any there? Because, I mean, if Ursay and company are looking outside of the building, a very loud voice from inside the city of Indianapolis, and Pat McAfee is all in. I mean, he's putting a lot of laundry out there, and Pat's got a monster megaphone, as we know. Is there anything there?
Yeah, well, I would definitely take into account what Pat's saying. You know, I think the stuff on Anthony Richardson is without question something that you have to pay attention to. I mean, look, like they felt like they had to do a lot to get him on track, and they felt like they did. Is the progress there to the point where you wouldn't add another person to that room at the very least that could compete with him for the job in 2025, and you're sort of effectively taking him off a scholarship, right? Like, and saying now you gotta go and win it. I think that's an open question. I would say the people I've talked to, it sounds more like general manager might be a question there rather than coach. I do think they really like Shane Steichen. You know, I think Chris Ballard on balance has done a pretty good job there, but he's had 8 years and they've only been in the playoffs twice. So, you know, do they look at it and say, okay, Shane Steichen, you can bring in your own guy. Do you bring in, you know, maybe somebody like Ian Cunningham from Chicago, who you were with in Philadelphia, and we build it around the two of you? I think there are a lot of those sorts of discussions happening right now. Now, again, like I would say Indianapolis and Miami are the two where I think the coaches are relatively safe, but the general managers might be, you know, there might be some discussions about the future of the general manager in this place.
Wow. How about that? Albert Breer here. Okay, before I let you go, what do you think about the Rose Bowl? Feeling good? What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say I'm in the same place I was before the Tennessee game, to be honest with you, which is I have no idea what to expect. I mean, God, like Chip's game plan, like the way Ryan had him locked in, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. And I think that version of this team is what everybody's been waiting for, who wears the same colors I do. It does bring some. Now, I think you'll find this interesting. So I don't know. I follow college closely, of course, but I don't cover it. So I don't know if this has been out there. But, you know, one thing that I did hear that was sort of interesting was that Ryan's approach to the season was that they viewed it as like an NFL season, like to get through and to have guys playing at their best this time of year, you were going to have to manage it to some degree. And I heard that was actually why they were one of the slowest playing teams in college football. Like a Chip Kelly offense, believe it or not, snap to snap, was one of the slower playing teams, low play count, protecting the defense, all of that. They played that sort of game during the regular season. And I think in certain spots it cost them. And I think what a lot of us were waiting for was when do you flip the switch with that? When do we see like the hyperspeed Chip Kelly? When do you start to see them play with abandon? And now all of a sudden that flips.
Right.
So is that what they are now?
Oh,
that's my question going into Wednesday. So I think that's really interesting because I think that's sort of where college coaches are right now with the chance that you might play 16 or 17 games. Do you start to approach it like an NFL coach would during the regular season, knowing we don't need to go 12-0 to get to the playoff? It's, I think, an interesting discussion, and maybe some more on that comes out when the season ends, if it ends the way I hope it does.
I think you're in good shape, Albert. You know, obviously I saw what your team did against Tennessee, and, you know, the good news is for you is Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, I understand he's a Heisman Trophy finalist. He's not a fourth-year walk-on, and you've got trouble with those at quarterback. Jeez. And also, Oregon is not going to be missing their two best players either. So that's what you have trouble with. You have trouble with teams that start fourth-year walk-ons at quarterback and are missing their two best players.
We had trouble kicking field goals
against those circumstances, those really, you know, adverse circumstances for you. And by the way,
you just made me think of this.
What am I making you think of? One month ago today, Albert? Is that what I'm making you think of?
It's a lot of bad memories rushing back. But you just made me think of this, like how I believe you guys got this transfer kicker, right? Like who hit, what was it, a 52-yarder?
By the way, my bad. He was active that day, and he was Michigan's best player all year long. So we had him.
After we spend $20 million or whatever it is, I think it's more than that, in the transfer, to build the team, it's the win that you guys got in the transfer portal at kicker over us. that kept your stupid streak going. So,
stupid streak, yeah. He says.
There you go.
Okay,
there
very good. Well, in case you're wondering who Dominic Zavada is, he's an excellent kicker who made the kicks as opposed to somebody else, you know, 1 month ago today. And he also can spell.
If we had a better kicker 2 years ago, we would have won the national title.
No, it's true. That's true. That's true.
That's
by the way.
That's actually true.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. Stetson Bennett all figured out. All right, Albert. Very good.
Thanks for the therapy session, Rich.
No,
I appreciate
it. It's not therapy. I'm just trying to make you feel good going into the Rose Bowl.
Are you
going to
be here, Albert? I assume you're coming to the game, right?
I'm not. No, that's the problem with these four. My one last soapbox thing.
Oh boy,
that's why these games should be on campus, right? Like the quarterfinals should be on campus. That was so great that first round, and
no,
I know
that's
the
game. No, you're right in this regard, Albert. You're right in this regard. Is that the bye week teams should
get home
get
games.
A home game now? Like Ohio right. State should be going to Oregon.
Right, like I agree with that 100%.
Right, so you get the home game, and Oregon gets the neutral site game, and that's
right.
And you know I hear what you're saying too, but yeah. You know, hey, at least you were able to win your last game, in the horseshoe, and again, and I appreciate you mentioning Zavada. In case you're wondering, you can put it up on the screen. He's the one, the H. He's the one making the H right
wow.
there.
That's
he's
the, ultimate,
he's the H guy right there in that photograph.
You walked into that.
That's like, the minute I brought it up, yeah. I thought of that picture and how the
It's interesting that he's the one also making that sort of good field goal sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's okay. His coach missed that moment because he was off to the side in his own little
shell shocked
moment. What happened?
Shout out to Jack Sawyer for doing the right thing.
Hey, I'm just glad he got to win his final game at Ohio State. So,
he did.
Albert,
he did.
Thanks again, brother.
All right, thanks,
I figured
Rich.
A month was long enough.
I was wondering when you were going to call.
Chat again soon. Come on, I've been texting you damn near every day. This guy's as delusional as they come.
This is the first invitation, though. I did not
understand.
Turn down an invitation.
You should understand.
It's just to set the record straight.
Take care, Albert.
See you, Albert.
That's
right,
Albert for everybody from Prime Video. Sports Illustrated. There he goes.
Brock McMurray's favorite. My mom loves Albert.
Who doesn't love Albert Breer? America loves Albert Breer. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back with more in a moment right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. We can help you save on the right oil for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Castrol Edge Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $35.99. Visit one of our 6,000 stores or order from AutoZone.com for same-day store pickup or next-day delivery.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says I say that weird. It is ruined my proposal story.
How Jason proposed, and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop you. I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
My friend, my longtime friend, my diehard Chiefs friend, a man who has told me so many times I would love to come to the Super Bowl and hang with you, but I will not until the Chiefs make it. And the Chiefs have made it. And Eric Stonestreet is here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Where the Chiefs fans at? There they are.
I will tell you this, yes. Chiefs fans. Football fans, Brett Veach was on Patrick Mahomes from the very beginning, and Brett Veach told me this year that we would take a picture with the Lamar Hunt Trophy in the locker room of Arrowhead, and we did that, and he said that from the beginning multiple times.
So now that is what we call an insider. An insider report.
That's an insider.
No, but I've known you for a long time. If I'm not mistaken, you are a mixture of ecstatic excitement.
Yeah.
And profound nervousness right now.
Yeah, I call it measured. I am measured. I am a volcano of emotions inside.
Yes, right now. I can see right now, yeah. Like you are.
You know, because I don't like to get the cart, you know, before the horses type of guy. I'm not. I know the 49ers are a good team. I also know we're a good team. I love that about the Super Bowl. It's a great matchup. We each have things we have to do to win the ball game. We have to stop their run, and Patrick Mahomes has to be Patrick Mahomes. There's no doubt about it.
It is just amazing seeing, you know, this moment for you, knowing how much it means to you that you're actually here at a Super Bowl. This is actually
I couldn't believe it. Going down there on the field after that and high-fiving those guys and them, and just the fact that Veach told me, you're going to come down on the sidelines and you're going to go in the locker room and you're going to kiss the Lamar Hunt trophy with me. And that happening, and he said, brother, the next trophy we're going to kiss is the Vinny. We kiss the Lamar. Let's get the Vinny.
Kiss the Vinny.
Kiss the Vinny.
I like that.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Guys, what an incredible triple header it was on NFL Network. And for me personally, being able to call Rams Cardinals at the end of it, I always think about when we first started at NFL Network and we were dreaming of what the network could become and dreaming of having games on the network one day. And that dream came true just a few years later when Thursday Night Football was born or reborn and placed on NFL Network. The idea of having three games in a row on NFL Network on a Week 17 game, Week 17 Saturday, it's the stuff of dreams that we were having. So it's not lost on me. And here I am sitting in the SoFi Stadium booth. And when NFL Network started in November of 2004, we were asked, why are you in Los Angeles? There's no NFL in Los Angeles. And here we are. The NFL Network's across the street from SoFi Stadium, home of not just two Los Angeles football teams, but two playoff Los Angeles football teams. And the triple header began with Jim Harbaugh clinching with the Chargers, a playoff spot for the Los Angeles Chargers. And Jim has plussed him up. Remember I said he was going to plus him up seven?
Seven.
Because that's what he did when he first showed up in San Francisco.
Right.
That's what he does. He pluses you up when he first shows up, whether it's Stanford or it's Michigan or it's the San Francisco 49ers. And now the Chargers have doubled up and went from 5 wins to 10. And this is a team, this is a Chargers team that, I mean, say what you will, they didn't charger.
No.
They didn't do the charging. You know what we haven't seen this year from the Chargers are those weird losses.
Yeah.
Those weird things that happen.
Like Melvin Gordon fumbling on the 1 yard line.
And then getting it back because
there was a penalty and there was something and then they fumbled
and then again. That was in Tennessee, I think, that happened.
Right.
Or the, you know, 60-point losses on Thursday Night Football, or the weird fourth down and go for it decisions from your own 19. Weird stuff.
Yeah,
we haven't seen the weird stuff.
Some weird, wacky stuff.
All you've seen is just stout play. Stout play.
Yeah, and Herbert's been unlocked. He looks awesome.
And hey, what are we going to do without Keenan Allen? What are we going to do without Mike Williams? Who's going to throw? Who's he going to throw to? Who is Herbert going to throw to? Certainly in the first 6 weeks of the season, we're all wondering, where's this offense? What is the identity? LeDD McConkey.
LeDD
is 100% going to be a finalist for Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's going to be won by Jaden Daniels. Brock Bowers will be a finalist.
Yep.
LeDD McConkey is
LeDD McConkey?
That kid. That kid.
That was the greatest thing Ken Tulo ever made besides his daughters. LeDD. That was
LeDD.
McConkey. You're mentioning our producer who came up with the idea of saying, hey, let's get Keegan-Michael Key to repeat Mr. Garvey.
I will never say lad again.
No, I don't. I just see him and I'm like, oh, LeDD.
McConkey.
Yeah.
He's
LeDD McConkey.
Two more touchdowns for him, guys. Two more.
Beast.
Glad I had him.
So
on
the
my
Chargers
team.
Are in. The Chargers are in, and they're going to be the 6th seed. And if, well, they could be the 5th seed, potentially. If they win their final game and Pittsburgh loses again,
which
could happen.
Oof.
Because that middle game of the NFL Network tripleheader was off the rails. In a game that the Denver Broncos needed to win to make the playoffs without having to beat the Chiefs to do it. They went on the road and they got Bo Nix making throws and they found their legs and sea legs every single time that Joe Burrow hit him with a right cross with T. Higgins or a left cross with T. Higgins or right in the chops with T. Higgins. That kid Bo Nix made two throws to Marvin Mims, one over the middle on a bomb, just a gorgeous spiral dart, 60 yards in the air to tie the game at 17. And then that one that sent the game into overtime with 8 seconds left on a fourth down. That was incredible. But this crazy-ass Bengals season where everything has happened to them, from losing to the Patriots in week one to getting a major win against the Cowboys handed to them with a special teams gaffe for the Dallas Cowboys, and losing everything else in between, and then winning everything else in between,
and
Joe Burrow having an MVP campaign and the offensive player of the year maybe could be Ja'Marr Chase. With all of that, they have Cade York lined up for a very makeable field goal to win the game in overtime, and he hits the upright.
Unbelievable.
And all Denver needed was a tie. That's all Denver needed was a tie. And Sean Payton called a few timeouts and called a couple timeouts in overtime. I thought it would have been well, best for him to just let the clock roll, because right. if Cade York hits the upright and there's no time left, that helps Denver's in.
Game over,
and the Broncos right. are in and the Bengals are out. And instead, he tried to win it. And then the Bengals get the ball back and Joe Burrow finds T. Higgins in the end zone for a walk-off win. And the Bengals are still alive. And let me tell you this. Outside of the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, and all of Bengals Nation, the jungle, if you will, and the jungles around the world, there's Bengals fans everywhere. I say to those folks, outside of you, there's not a single NFL player or team in the playoffs that wants to see the Bengals in the playoffs too. Not a single one of them. Who wants to see Joe Burrow as your seventh seed with T. Higgins playing for his deal and Ja'Marr Chase also looking for his money? Mm-hmm. And all of that stuff's put aside because they know this could be a one last ride together. Who wants to see Joe Burrow walk into their house? Do the Buffalo Bills want freshly minted, clinched two seed? They want to see Joe Burrow walk in as a seven seed? I will say no. You're laughing because Rich Eisen Show coordinating producer and diehard Bills mafioso.
I do not.
Mike Hoskins just said, in all of our ears together, I do not want to see them. You do not. That's correct. You do not. Let me just say this. If the Bengals make it as the seventh seed, and due to the Bills, what, you know, cause Stephon Diggs to lose his mind?
Yeah.
In the snow in Buffalo. Let's say he does that to the Kansas City Chiefs would be
up next.
Fresh off their bye. Who's coming into their house? Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Who's the only one currently active in the National Football League to have gone into that house?
Burrowhead, right? That's what they call it.
Burrowhead. Missouri.
Yikes.
No. They do not wish to see him.
No thanks.
No. Nobody wants to see Joe Burrow. No one wants to see Joe Burrow, MVP Joe Burrow.
Right?
No one wants to see him. I don't want any part of him. So the crazy thing is the Chiefs can beat the Broncos and open the door. But the first guy, the first line of defense on that front are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because they play the Bengals on Saturday night. The Bengals are playing on Saturday night on ESPN and the Disney family of networks on ABC. They are first up. Because if they lose, they're out. And that leaves the Broncos and the Dolphins remaining for that seven seed. And they both play their games at the same time, late window on Sunday at 4:25 Eastern. But if the Bengals win, then they will be very interested observers on what happens in Denver and New York City, or New Jersey, because that's where the Jets are hosting the Dolphins. That's it. Broncos beat the Chiefs, then they're in, and that's the end of it. And I know you're sitting there saying, well, but the Chiefs aren't going to play anybody. They're not going to start playing anybody. You don't think Carson Wentz is going to want to win that football game and show everybody, I can be the next Sam Darnold. Give me that shot.
Yeah,
good, NFL team.
Good call. Good call on that.
Of course. You don't think that all those Chiefs players who are playing in the place of all the future Hall of Famers that they have there, or the Pro Bowlers that they have there, that Andy Reid is going to say, you sit, you sit, you sit. And they're all a captive audience for their backup teammates who are going to want to say, hey, first stringers, we're just as good as you, and we're going to win a Super Bowl together. And make history. What do you think they're going to want to lose in Denver?
That's why it's hard to buy the notion that teams will tank, because you've got a lot of prideful men on those teams.
Dude, I don't know if you watched, because if you were watching, if you were around, or you had fantasy involvement, 3-12 Tennessee versus 3-12 Jacksonville was a fun football game with two guys, you know, one who's apparently a dead coach walking, and our friend Doug Peterson, and Brian Callahan, who lost his mind when he was asked if his team was soft. You know, that was a grown-ass man football game with pride everywhere. Oh, Denver can lose this one. And the Dolphins can go, and the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams in their last game together, using the Jets as their fantasy football camp together, basically, right now. They could spit their last green breath in the direction of the Dolphins, which means for every single team that does not want the Bengals to make it, Mike Tomlin's your guy. Mike Tomlin's your guy. And they'll know if they have a chance to win the AFC North, because the first game of Week 18 is Browns at Ravens right before it. The NFL is going to check off the AFC North box before Sunday even hits.
Stay by your phone, man. I may need you.
That's your guy. You don't want Burrow in? That's your guy.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
That's it.
Should they be sending him like Gold Belly or edible arrangements,
whatever,
or something?
Whatever makes Mike Tomlin happy.
I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog you might not like.
He could just basically tell the Bengals, nice season, nice run you made, nice four-game win streak you suddenly came up with. Great job. Keep it up. We're going to the playoffs, and you're not. Oh, baby, Week 18.
And the Steelers are 4-1 their last five against the Bengals, too. So,
dude, that's going to be fun Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Because there are fan bases in Kansas City and in Buffalo and in Baltimore feeling great about their teams right now. They're sitting back. They're smoking stogies. Right. Certainly in Buffalo and Kansas City, they're like Red Auerbach, sitting back saying, we already got our seeds. We already know we got our own playoff teams. We already know we're feeling good. We already know what we got. They don't want to see that guy, Burrow. Yeah, yeah. No, thank you.
Right, TJ, you know, it's LeBron's birthday today. Remember that famous gif of him when they played the Spurs in the finals? And he saw that Kawhi was checking back in, and he's like, oh, because Kawhi had been locking him up.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
This is it.
This is it.
Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. The entire league is Brock Osweiler.
Right.
Watching Peyton Manning running back out there.
Come on, man.
This guy thought he was dead and buried at Thanksgiving. Mike Tomlin's your guy, folks. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hour number three is all for us, too. So don't go anywhere. It's lots more to converse about. Back here on the program, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. What are you laughing about?
You gotta say what you just said.
I don't want to say it.
then I'll say it. This guy's at home. Go ahead.
What? So I'm at home watching, I'm in Altoona, I'm watching that stinking Eagles-Cowboys game. And I think Eagles go up, 14-7. And my mom's sitting there, and she looks at me, and she goes, Tamagen, you just need to get a new team. And I'm like, how dare you? How dare you?
Mama knows best. She's looking out for you and your health and your mentals and your well-being.
Yeah. I think she saw me because, you know, I'm sitting at home, so I can't say the things I want to say while I'm watching the game. So my reactions consisted a lot of me just like kicking. And she was just like, just get a new team.
So what was your reaction when Tanner McKee threw his second touchdown pass in the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, I wasn't even watching. I stopped watching.
Delicious. Seriously.
It was not delicious.
Tanner McKee.
Tanner McKee. You know when I saw that happen?
Not one, but two. How many A.J. Brown fantasy folks were thinking when Tanner McKee came in saying, I'm not going to get my touchdowns from him today? And then they got two.
I was one of them.
Yeah, you know when I saw those touchdowns?
They got one from that throw that Kenny Pickett made to bring in Tanner McKee, because he took a shot from Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Clean shot,
when
too.
He found A.J. Brown in the back of the end zone.
Oh, my gosh.
Was really one of the...
Great throw, man.
Was incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it knocked Pickett out, but it put Brown in the end zone, and then Brown caught another one from Tanner McKee, who threw two touchdowns.
I saw those on replay. Your mom says later.
Because your mom doesn't have that sort of insane fandom.
Knows.
She just knows what's best for you.
Get a new team.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
How dare
DJ
her.
Jefferson's mom told him, just get a new team, watching him suffer against the Philadelphia Eagles.
She don't know football.
I will tell you this.
What does she know?
TJ. Mm-hmm. There is a particular New York Knickerbocker that has a keen interest in connecting with you. Just letting you know that.
Yeah, I told my uncles this yesterday. They were dropping me off at the airport, and I'm like,
I may or may not have been the one to reach out after Tanner McKee threw his second touchdown.
See, why are you getting involved? He's busy. He's, you know,
he's definitely not busy. He's definitely not busy. I know that he's not busy, but...
Why are you egging this on?
Because it's delightful. I will just tell you...
It's delightful.
I will just tell you, because after I texted him that McKee just threw his second touchdown on the Cowboys, just to give you a heads up, Carl Anthony Towns responded to me, God knew who to give the money to, because I'm a use it wisely, LMAO. Says Carl Anthony Towns. So that's what we call foreshadowing, as we're back on the show this week. Foreshadowing.
I got to say, TJ, you weren't on this, but Rich, you sent this to me and Mike and Sean.
Yes.
And I was at several minutes of laughing, just picturing what Kat is going to come up with.
Yeah. It's called foreshadowing. No. He's not.
My uncle dropped me off at the airport in State College yesterday. And as I'm getting out of the car, I'm like, man, I'm going to have to deal with this Carl Anthony Towns guy this week.
You are. In short order, sir. I think he's got a game tonight, which is the saving grace for you on this Monday.
And I had a T-shirt made, like, when we went up, early on, I had something I was going to send him. And then after, ten minutes, I had to delete that.
When Cooper Rush responded to his pick six right away.
Well, first of all, just real quick, I don't want to talk about the Cowboys. But they start the game off, they're running the ball. Right up first series. Then they decide to throw it on third and short pick.
Look out.
Next series, third and one, they throw like a 30-yard bomb downfield instead of just running the ball. At that point, I mentally checked out because I was so aggravated by their play calls.
Yes.
So that's all I want to say about them. They aggravate me.
Your mom doesn't have that whole, you know, deep care for the team. She just is watching you struggle, watching the game. She's saying, why don't you get a new team already? Which makes sense.
I shouldn't even have said that.
This is perfect time for me to read this. The unexpected can happen at any time. You need to think about things like life insurance in advance, and Ethos makes it as easy as 1, 2, 3. Just choose your coverage. Apply in minutes. Get covered in real time. No medical exam. Just answer a few simple health questions, and you're on your way with up to $2 million of term life protection with policies starting as low as $2 a day. Ethos is approving over 2,000 families a day for life insurance protection, all online and hassle-free. Get your free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com. That Akello Witherspoon interception I got to call on Saturday night was something to behold in person, I'll tell you that. And let me tell you this too, folks. You were there, Chris, with Sarah.
I was there. Yeah, we were there.
You used your tickets, Mike. I don't know. You were feeding your squirrel. You couldn't go to the game.
Come on. So you're working.
No, you weren't working. You said you've been off.
Yeah.
No, he said for five days.
Oh, and then you worked Saturday?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Two games.
And squirrel had to find its own nuts.
Squirrel had to find its own nuts.
Yep.
There's a starving squirrel in the marina saying, "Where's Papa
today?
Where's Papa with his nuts?
Papa,
where's Mikey D's and D's nuts?
Oh yeah,
I can only do that impression for one person.
It was loud.
It was loud.
Really loud.
Really good crowd. Really good crowd on Saturday night.
And it wasn't because Arizona fans came all the way up Arizona.
Yeah, really
it was loud. Crowd. It was Rams house.
It was Rams house.
It was really like a home field advantage.
Yeah,
it was. And Matthew Stafford had not, in his career, won back-to-back games in which he threw for less than 200 yards passing.
Yeah, not a lot of offense.
And now he's done it three games in a row.
Yeah.
After scoring 44 against the Bills and giving up 42 on that day, they gave up 42 on that day. They gave up 6 to the Niners, 9 to the Jets, and 9 to the Cardinals.
Yeah, their defense was bringing it. They were in Kyler's lap all night.
They've given up 24 points in three games after 42-1.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams are the proverbial don't want to face them either. You know, pretty wild stuff. And I started the day at NFL Network right across the street, and I walked over with Kurt Warner, and he had his silver puffy jacket with him. And I had no idea as we're getting set to go on the air. You see my face right there?
Look on your face.
You see that face right there?
You're just like.
I didn't know that he was going to wear it until we rehearsed it 10 minutes beforehand. And he wore it just to start because it's a tradition, like the traveling pants. Remember that? We sent it to Iron Eagle one year he wore it.
Oh, yeah.
So Kurt wore it just as a gag. And then in the fourth quarter, he put it on.
Got pretty chilly.
He put it on.
Yeah,
it gets cold.
Oh, I busted his stones for that one.
When the fog rolls in, it gets pretty chilly.
Yeah, because it's an open air stadium with a canopy on top.
Yeah, you get fog.
Yeah,
20 degrees.
Nah, not that cold, but it was 50.
I was in 20 degree
weather. Quarterback, guys.
Yeah,
he's also a dome announcer.
Well, Kurt and I
with that jacket.
Kurt and I on the same page. What is not football weather?
Oh, I know that. I know that. But he wore the puffy coat. It went from a gag, a visual gag, to a functioning, necessary jacket for him. But not for me. I did not need one. It was also warm. They blasted the heat in that booth, too.
I mean, come on. It wasn't cold. I was in the cold. That wasn't cold.
I'm telling you.
East Coast was cold.
It was cold.
The jacket started as a sight gag and then wound up being a necessity.
Look at Kurt.
And look at it. My face was like legit.
That jacket should be hung in the hall.
What is he doing?
Send that jacket to Canton.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.